Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, I want to begin today by quickly reading three portions of the scriptures. In the book of Acts chapter 4, this was after Peter and John had prayed for the paralyzed man that was at the gate called Beautiful. And when the crowd gathered because they noticed that this man was born crippled and he was over the age of 40 at this particular point in time, they really wanted to know what went on, and Peter went ahead and preached the gospel about Jesus Christ to them. Now, a conclusion of this is what we find in this book of Acts chapter 4, from verse 10 of that Acts chapter 4. It said, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone." Please, my emphasis is verse 12. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And he was talking about the name of Jesus. That is, this name was given so that by it men can be saved. This name was not given so that by it men can identify themselves. This name was not given so that by it men can identify the church that they go to. This name was given so that men might be saved. Please notice that. It is in the name of Jesus that God packaged salvation for mankind. Please, there's a reason why I'm reading this. Quickly, let's read again the book of Colossians chapter 1 from verse 12. Paul was speaking here, talking about praying and all of that. He now talked about giving thanks to the Father from verse 12. Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance in the saints. He said, and this is my emphasis, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, that is Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of our sins. The forgiveness of sins is what gives us redemption, or that is what redemption is. And the Bible says that it's in Christ Jesus that we have redemption. Please follow me closely. There's a reason why I'm reading these scriptures. And the last one I want to read is the book of Ephesians chapter 1. It said that, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That is, anyone who is a believer. What the Bible is saying is this, that is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he has believed in the name that was given that men should be saved by. And that this man who has believed has been delivered by God the Father from the domain of darkness. He has been transferred into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that in this he has forgiveness for his sins. And that he has experienced redemption. And this person, the Bible says, has blessings prepared and kept in the heavens for him. Now, I know last time I began to speak, and that's what I'm continuing on the subject of the foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. I have made some emphasis last time, and one the most important thing I said is the fact that there's a difference between foundations and pillars, and that's why I chose both words to describe what we are discussing. That is, the foundation of a thing is invisible. If a man were to come to a building and observe it, the beauty of the building he can see outwardly, but he can never from outward see that which is beneath the surface. Foundations are beneath the surface, and only the man who was there when this thing was being built, or who has a revelation of that which eyes cannot see, will know exactly that which constitutes this foundation of a thing. And I said, and I'm saying it again, that financial prosperity has a foundation which people don't see. If you see a man who is prospering, and we read that in a lot of books trying to motivate us to succeed in life, they tell us the pillars, the outward things, because those are the things you can see. You can see a tall temple, and the roof is being carried by a pillar. Those are the things that we can see. We cannot see that which is beneath the surface. So when we see a man who is very diligent in his business, we are observing the pillars of his success. We are not seeing the foundation. So the first thing I want to begin to talk about is this matter of foundation. And the first and most important foundation is this matter of the deliverance that's in Christ Jesus and the blessing that is kept in heaven. Listen to me, first and foremost, the foundation for financial prosperity is based upon that which God has done for you in Christ Jesus. When we talk about grace, the real meaning of grace is that which God, I'm quoting somebody now, that which God is able to do because of the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, all right, in your life. If God produces something great for you, then we say, and that's based upon your faith in this person, Jesus Christ, we say that you have experienced the grace of God. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you there. Now, so the first thing, talking about the foundation for financial prosperity, is this grace of God. Let me explain something again. There are different ways by which you can get into something. If you go and read Psalm 118, it said, open for me the gates of God. That is the one that the righteous go through so as to enter into something. It's the gates of God. And I discussed that when I was talking about how to enter into enduring success. You can get the series, How to Enter into Enduring Success. I discussed that. So there are different ways by which you do things. What I am discussing is how to enter into the financial prosperity that God is giving you. Please, this is another series we did some time ago, and I want to recommend it again. Please get this series. They are on MP3 CDs, which makes them very easy for you to acquire, all right, and store. Creating the opportunities for prosperity. I discussed a lot of things in details there, which I may not go into in this particular series that we are on, because I have a slightly different emphasis. Now, this is what I'm saying. So, if we are following this path of God and want to receive that which God gives us by His grace, do you understand? His grace is that which He can do for us because of our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. If we are following that, the first and most important foundation, okay, for that financial prosperity is this issue of the righteousness or the deliverance that we have received in Christ Jesus. There's a reason why I read those three scriptures, Acts chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 1, and Colossians chapter 1. The reason is because, I said before, the foundation of things are spiritual. What we see outward, the Bible says, cannot be explained by the things that are visible. But the things that are really the foundations are invisible. And that's quoting from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It said, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of those things which are visible. Please listen to me. The spiritual realm controls the physical realm. If you go and read the book of Daniel chapter 4, that was the thing that God was teaching Nebuchadnezzar. That Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, is this not Babylon the great which I built it by the strength of my might, and I built it by the glory of my majesty. When he said that, God said, you see, you have made a mistake. You are a man of great strength, I know. You are a man that has power and you understand warfare. You know politics, you know how to do things. But that's not really what built Babylon the great. What built Babylon was the fact that God rules in the affairs of men. And the angelic watcher said, he gives the kingdoms of men over to whomsoever he wishes and sets upon them the lowliest of men. That is, what you experience outwardly is a reflection of that which is going on in the realm of the spirit. And therefore, when you want to lay a foundation, the foundation must be spiritual. Do you get my point? Now, there's something that comes up again and again in my messages, and that's a result of the things that are going on around us and the things that are in the hearts of people. And that's concerning the matter of curses and blessings. And that's what I want to talk about briefly now, talking about the spiritual foundation. Listen to me, that there are curses in life, please, I don't ever deny that fact. And there are two ways by which people get curses in life. Number one, there indeed are what is called generational curses. Again, we did a series some time ago. Please get the series and listen to it. It's titled Breaking the Curses in Your Life. Indeed, there are generational curses in which you were born into a particular lineage. You were born into from a particular village. In fact, you were born into a particular race. Do you understand my point? And this imparts a kind of disadvantage upon you. And this is spiritually speaking. That's one way by which curses come, in one direction they come from. But the second place they come from is the more important one. And that's by the things that we do by our hands. I say it's more important because there are two ways by which they operate. One, you can by the works of your hand produce a fresh curse upon yourself, or you can activate that which already hangs in the realm of the spirit, which was released upon somebody else. That is, I said that you have a generation from which you came, naturally speaking. Now, please, I'm talking about natural order, all right? There is a place you came from. That's what the Bible means when it says this was born of the will of flesh, all right? Flesh and blood. Now, when you check the lineage, all right, by flesh and blood, people might be under the influence of a curse. And I can prove that from the scriptures. You read from the book of Kings, chapter 5. You see the story there of when Gehazi, all right? Gehazi was Elisha's servant, like a personal assistant to Elisha. Remember that story? It's a story of when Naaman was sent to Elisha that he might be cured of his leprosy. And the man went deep in the river 7 times, as he was told, and he came out completely cured of the leprosy, which had severely afflicted him. And when he came back to Elisha to come and say thank you, he brought a lot of goods, a lot of money, a lot of clothes, okay? But Elisha said, no, I am not taking anything from you. But Gehazi now ran after Naaman, thinking that Elisha would not know. And he went and lied in Elisha's name, and collected some things from Naaman, and he went and stored them. As soon as he appeared in the presence of Elisha, Elisha told him what he had done, do you understand? And then he placed a curse upon him. And that's the curse I want to read to us quickly. The book of 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 27. It said, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you. It was talking to Gehazi. And to your descendants forever. Why I read this is because of the word descendants. Do you understand my point? You see, naturally speaking, there are two ways to interpret these things. I want us to just get that one, bear that one in mind as I go on. Now, the natural one here, which is the first way that was intended by Elisha, is that the children of Gehazi will begin to have problems with leprosy. And anyone who does the works of Gehazi will also have a manifestation of what leprosy stands for. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. So you find out that, as a matter of fact, the descendants of Gehazi are predisposed to having leprosy because of the word, and these words are very powerful, the word of the prophet, because of the word that he spoke against Gehazi. Please, are you getting my point? Now, so, but then there's another thing. When a man does something with him, by himself, he also invokes a curse upon his life. And you will see, when the two sons of Eli died, okay, the Bible makes it clear that these two sons of Eli had brought a judgment upon themselves. Do you follow my point? The men around Job, they understood that principle. They said to Job, maybe your sons sinned and God has visited their iniquity upon them. Get my point? When people do things, they invoke curses upon their lives. But I'm not talking about curses in detail now. What am I talking about actually? The redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's why we read those three scriptures. That they said there is no name that's given by which men should be saved, but by the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I know, as a matter of fact, people have told me, listen, I struggle and nothing ever seems to come out of it. Listen, when a young man struggles and is not getting much result, really cannot say yet, is when he goes into middle age and life is still showing him difficulties. When he becomes totally unlucky, or he has proved over time to be totally unlucky, then we begin to suspect that there is, peradventure, there is a curse working in his life. In fact, there are people that initially appear successful, but their punishment is waiting. Do you follow the point I'm making? These things happen. But again, like I said, my message is not about that. My message is about the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Both generational curses and the ones that people invoke upon themselves with their own hands, both of them, they can be saved from. That is the meaning of the word salvation. And how are they saved? He said there is a name that is given. We're talking about foundation for financial prosperity. Anything that will hinder you from prospering in life, the spiritual reasons why you should not prosper. Listen, let's stop analyzing. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Because you see, a lot of people, I've heard of it before. I heard the other time that a man said, look, if you're having experience breaking in marriage, go and check what your ancestors did. Let me tell you the truth. It's not necessary. If you're having this kind of problem, go and check what your grandfathers did. The people from your village. Listen to me. I believe something. Like you heard me mention a short while ago. These things can have effect. But listen, let me give you this particular kind of example. If a man had tuberculosis, he got the tuberculosis from somewhere. Maybe, and I've heard of this before, there was a bank manager that had tuberculosis. Do you follow? Nobody suspected this rich man that drives a very good car, that lives in a good home, could have tuberculosis. But what happened was that his driver had tuberculosis. Air-conditioned car, the driver is always coughing into the air. And when he enters the car, the man wouldn't know that tuberculosis bacilli are floating all over as aerosols in the car. He would be inhaling it. That's where he got his own from. There are those who got their own as babies from the homes that they lived in. Maybe a white man traveled down to Africa and somebody infected him with tuberculosis. Now, I'm bringing out something. If a man showed up in a clinic,
His treatment is not dependent upon where he got his tuberculosis from. That is why it is around nonsense for you to settle down and be analyzing your genealogy. It's a sign that the man who wants to treat your spiritual problem does not have any power. If he did have the power to treat your spiritual tuberculosis, he wouldn't care where you got it from. The treatment for the bank manager that got his tuberculosis from his driver, and the white man that came to Africa to get his own, and the young child that got from his mother, the treatment is the same. You use the same drugs irrespective of where you got it from. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Do you follow? I'm talking about the person who has the disease now, not about the community. Because we can try to say, okay, let's prevent the spread in the community by identifying where he started from. But talking about treating the man, you treat him once you catch him. What am I saying? You don't need to go and investigate what your grandfather did that set all of you on the path towards poverty in your family. It is unnecessary. The person who's leading you in that path, saying we have to go and break the curse there, we have to go and do that, it's a proof that he doesn't have any power, he does not have any understanding, he does not have the treatment. What is the treatment? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Listen, anyone who has faith, that's why I read the scriptures. From Colossians chapter 1, the Bible makes it clear that once we have faith, we have been delivered from the power of darkness and we have been transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. What is redemption? When we are removed from the powers that held us down, it's called redemption. Please, I hope you are following me. When we are removed from the powers that held us in bondage and made it impossible for us to prosper financially, it's called redemption. Notice, God did not investigate where your problem began from. Ancestral or personal is arrant nonsense to try to investigate it. The most important thing is faith in Christ Jesus. Foundation for financial prosperity. First and foremost, faith in Christ Jesus. He said that is the name given by which men must be saved. Please follow me. Follow me. I know where I'm going. The next thing he now said, which you read from Ephesians chapter 1, he said, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. See, talking about the foundation for financial prosperity, you must have knowledge of this fact. Because one thing the devil does to people is that he sells lies to them. One of my young men came to me the other day. He said, Pastor, I think we need to talk. I said, about what? He said, I've had this kind of problems and this kind of problem. I have a feeling. Maybe it was insinuating maybe there's a curse. Or he needs to tap into a kind of blessing. That is, he's not manifesting that blessing. That's what he was saying. When he finished telling me the problem, I said, are those the things you are referring to? He said, yes. I said, let me begin to tell you my own problems. I quickly ran through about 4 different serious challenges I've had in life myself. I said, oh boy, despite that, no devil can sell anything to me that I'm not a blessed man. People have challenges. There was a time Jesus didn't have money on him. I can prove that to you. If he had money on him, when they say pay a tax, and Peter had gone to commit him, all right, that he does pay that tax. Jesus said, lest we give them offense, pay. But what will we pay from? He said, okay, go to the river and go and fish. People think Jesus did that one to show off. Nobody knew where Peter got the money from, apart from Peter. There was no money on them at that particular point in time. Paul, one of the greatest apostles of all times, he will write letters and say, we wanted to come to you, but we were hindered. That his situations did not favor us. You can have challenges in life. It's not a sign that you are cursed. Don't buy the devil's lie that you're a cursed person. You started the first business, it failed. The second one, it failed. Peter Daniel started 3 businesses and they collapsed. Do you understand my point? But eventually, he made it to become a very rich man who gives money out in millions of dollars. So please, let no devil sell any lie to you because you had a few misfortunes. So you were in school, you failed a number of courses. It is not a proof that you are cursed. So there were times you've been broke. Listen, there's what the Bible calls a young man bearing his burdens in the days of his youth. You're just bearing your burden. It doesn't mean you're cursed. Let me tell you the truth. The assurance you need to know you are blessed is what the word of God says. If your faith in Christ Jesus, you know what he said? We read that from Ephesians chapter 1. He said, blessed be God. That is, thanks be to God. Magnified be God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. People say, but it's just spiritual. No, you must understand what he was saying there. He said, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. When the Bible talks about heavenly places, he's talking about the power that controls your earthly life. David said, who do I have in heaven but you? And upon this earth I have desired none else. What does it mean? The influence of my God in heaven makes it irrelevant for me to desire any help on earth. God is my help. That's what he's saying. So when he says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, you know what he's saying? He said, if you're a man of faith in Christ Jesus, then God has stored your blessing in a place where it cannot be touched. Even though the dollar changes from 120 naira and becomes 180 naira. He said, your blessing has not changed in value. Listen to me. You know what? If you had money, maybe you wanted to buy a car from America, and the car, they told you they would buy it for $10,000, and you had 1.2 million naira, you could buy the car then, but now you can't. The money is still the same, but the value has changed. Oh God, you must understand that the Bible is very, very relevant. He said, put your treasure in heaven. We'll talk about that. Where moth does not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. What does it mean that moth destroys? Inflation is the modern day moth. When things destroy, so inflation destroys the value of your money. The value of your money drops when the price of fuel goes up if your money is stored in physical currency. Are you getting the point I'm making here? And the Bible says that the blessing you have, however, is stored in the heavenly places where no corruption can touch it. What it means is that if God has blessed you with the ability to have a house in the realm of the spirit, even though the value of house goes up 50,000 times, you will still have enough to meet that challenge when the time comes. That's what it means when it says a blessing is stored in the heavens. Get my point? When the Bible says that a blessing is stored, sometimes you don't feel the manifestation right now because the time is not yet ripe. Everything has a season. In the life of the child of God, everything has a season. Isaiah said it very clearly in Isaiah chapter 49. He said, there was a time that God kept me in the quiver, even though he has sharpened me, made me a choice arrow for war. He said, but he kept me in his quiver. Therefore, I did things that appeared like I did not see manifestation, but I'm still a blessed man. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen to me. If your faith in Christ Jesus, you have been delivered from every curse. You have been delivered from every power of the devil. And I'm telling you, declaring to you today, you are a blessed person. Therefore, what is the first foundation, practical foundation, I mean now, that you need to lay based upon this foundation that I have told you, that God has laid on your behalf? And that is the power of knowledge. You must know it. And I'm happy you are listening to me tonight. Believe what I'm telling you. The Bible says, believe also his prophets, so shall you prosper. If you believe these words I'm telling you, listen to me, you will experience the prosperity that you are desiring in your life. Listen to what I'm trying to explain here. Listen, because the devil lies to people. He said you have been cursed, and they believe it just because of a few challenges. Who doesn't have challenges? Who doesn't have challenges? In fact, some of those are our challenges is because we are wrongly timing God. The Bible says that God is not slow as some count slowness. That is, there is an ability to time God correctly. That is, once you count slow according to your own way, it may appear as if God is slow. When as a matter of fact, he's not slow. What do they mean by God is slow? Neka married last year. Therefore, me, Chidima, I should have married too. After all, we are the same age. You are counting God's speed. Some counselness. You are using the time of another person's life to judge your life. That's why you think you're not blessed. Listen, the world has a way of derailing the children of God who have been blessed by God from focusing on that which is right. They enter into competition. I'm tired of driving to Kumboka because my mates are not driving brand new ones. So the man is no longer relaxed. There is something that I pray about every day when I remember that I read it from the scriptures. The Bible says that thou will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed on you, O God, for he trusts in you. So every day I pray, I say, God, let me help me to keep my mind upon you at all times. I will not keep my mind upon the car my neighbor bought. I will not keep my mind upon the clothes my friends bought. I will not keep my mind upon the houses my friends are dedicating. I will not keep my mind upon the children the other people are having. I will keep my mind on God alone because God has set a particular race for my life. The Bible says that you will therefore keep you in perfect peace. Listen, if you're a child of God and you are not in perfect peace, your mind is stayed on something else. Your mind is not on God. Listen to me, you are blessed, you are not cursed. Unless you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ or you have been running into devil's affairs, trying to borrow small blessing from him, you don't need it. I said you don't need it. You're a blessed person. Your first foundation to lay is to settle down and know what I'm telling you. Know it. Believe it. Declare, I am blessed. Write it on your wall, I am blessed. I am blessed, I am not cursed. I don't care what my grandfather did. I said something the other time, learn how to draw lineage properly. You know, when I was talking about those curses, I said, when you are counting by flesh and blood, your grandfather is according to flesh and blood. But there is a counting that is according to faith. This is how you count it. I am of God. My life is hid with Christ in God. This is how to count it. I am a descendant of Abraham because of faith. I am a true descendant. I worship God in spirit. I have no confidence in the flesh. I don't care where my grandfather came from or what crosses my villagers have held on to. I am of God. My life is hid with Christ in God. I am a blessed man. No matter what people, what books you read that teaches you methods of making money. The other time I was, you know, a few hours ago, I was reading a particular write-up of how to manage the challenges of 2009. Very beautiful write-up. Except that it said some things which I said, the scripture is not saying this one. Lay up money because of difficult times. I said, God said, don't take any thought about the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. They can teach you all the manners. They tell you how to build up your investment portfolio and everything. Listen to me. The Bible says that all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of God blows upon it. One of my young men was teaching when I went for a conference a few days ago. And he said, what is the cause of the current global economic crisis? Many of us have said it is greed, and he said it. Even me, I have preached that, look, this is a sign that human beings are cruel and they are greedy. But this young man went a step deeper. He said, this is God teaching us that the world system is unreliable. I said, this is true. He said, the world system is unreliable. That God is passing his judgment on capitalism the way we know it today and says, this is not right. What am I saying? No matter what you read in books on how to build these things, if you don't have a spiritual foundation, one day the breath of God will blow upon it. He said, the grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of God blows upon it. He said, but the word of God abides forever. It means there are times they will be blowing. He said, but there are people who are firmly planted upon the rock and they cannot be moved. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen to me. The message I've brought for you today is for you to understand again that there is no other name by which a man, a woman should be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And that anyone who believes in him is automatically delivered from the wrong foundations for poverty and moved into the right foundation for financial prosperity. And I said, such a person is blessed and you must know it. Number one, key, don't just rush out to go and succeed. In that main series, creating the opportunity for prosperity, I said something then. I said, first, success must be birthed in your heart before it can be birthed outside. And that's what I'm talking about again. Number one foundation is the knowledge of the redemption that you have in Christ Jesus. And for you who are out there, if you don't have that yet, look, it's very simple. There are different ways people get to know God. And it's very interesting. There's a particular man, Larry Lee, became very famous for the teachings he had on how to pray for 1 hour. And he taught people how to tarry in the place of prayer for 1 hour. As a young man, he was a rich young boy. His father had a lot of money. But he was so frustrated and confused because of the purposelessness of life that he discovered. One day he walked up to his father and said, look at all the problems I'm having concerning the meaning of life. His father looked at him and said, any young man who has everything that you have and is still complete must be on drugs. But this young man was not on drugs. Eventually, the confusion in his soul made him mental. They admitted him in a Catholic institution, a mental hospital. And there, because it was a religious organization, they had Bibles everywhere. So he took a New Testament and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In reading these Gospels, he discovered the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got on his knees beside his bed and shouted, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Those were his only words. And there, the Spirit of God came upon him, healed him of his mental troubles, gave him purpose in life, and he became sane, left the place and became a pastor that was one of the biggest that America knew at the time, wrote a book and did a series of messages that blessed the whole world. What am I saying? Where you are right now, maybe all you need to do is jump up and shout, Jesus, 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 have mercy upon me. You will discover the causes in your life are broken. You will discover the foundation for prosperity that God has built into that name. Jesus Christ. I hope you've got my point today.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.